Welcome to the Live Free Podcast. I'm your host, Michaela Quinn, and I am a mom on a mission to help you launch, grow, and scale a profitable freelance business from home. Join me each week for tangible business advice along with inspiring interviews, all designed to help you mom strong, work smart, and live free. If you are loving this podcast, finding yourself motivated or inspired, learning something new, or just a fan of the show, do me a favor and help me spread the message. Screenshot the episode, add it to your Insta stories, and tag me at Michaela.Quinn. Every share helps me reach more and more moms, and I may just share your share and feature you in my Insta stories too, because together we can take over the world. All right, mama, it's time. Grab your coffee, water, or wine because we are starting. Hey there. Welcome back to the Live Free Podcast. Happy Monday. I am so excited to bring you another kind of student success story catch-up episode. Today, you're going to get to hear from Chelsea Hall again. Chelsea is a former first grade teacher turned Pinterest strategist. After having her first baby, Chelsea knew she needed something more flexible that would allow her to be a more present mom. Chelsea now helps female entrepreneurs strategically grow their email list, generate leads, and increase sales with the power of Pinterest, all while working around her family's schedule. When she's not geeking out over Pinterest, you can find her spending time with her family or devouring tacos and spicy margaritas. And today she's going to give us an update on where she's been in the last 2 years in her business. She came on back in 2021, November of 2021, shared more about how she got started. And today she's just going to share, you know, more about what's been happening in her world and business in the last 2 years so that you guys can see just how sustainable having a freelance business can be and all the amazing benefits that can come with it. So without further ado, let's dive in and go hear from Chelsea. Chelsea, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you and just catch up on what's been happening in your business in the last, 2 years, because you were back on in 2021 and it's now 2023. So yeah, my math is right. That's 2 years. And just hear kind of like the wisdom that you can share with women that are in the maybe about to start phase, maybe deciding about to start phase, or even those that have already started and are working to get established and or kind of figure out what's their next step. I've loved doing these episodes to just help show the many different directions businesses can go and also show just the longevity. I think a lot of people struggle with, is this just a fad? Is this just something that's going to maybe make my family money for 1 month, 2 months? And like, we rely on my income. I can't just make a willy-nilly decision and screw us up for the future.
Yeah, I'm on my third, or I will be celebrating my third year of business as of November 1st, which seems crazy. Right before we started this, I said to you, I think you've had two babies in the midst of that. I've added a new little one. I started my business with a 5-month-old who is now almost 3.5.
Oh my gosh.
And I have a now 1-year-old who just turned 1 in August. So it's just crazy how much has just changed in such a short period of time. But no, I'm in it for the long haul. I agree with anybody that thinks it's a scam or like, is this a long game? And it 100%. Yeah. I mean, I don't know, right? Like there's so much you can do in the freelance space that like, I might not always be in the role of a Pinterest manager, but I'll be in this online freelancing space for a hot minute or for as long as I can.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, sometimes I find myself when I get stressed or anxious, I'm like, okay, am I always going to be doing this? Like, what am I always going to be doing? And I don't know if online courses and programs will be around forever, but if anything ever changes or not, I know that there will always be businesses that need support and need help. So if courses go away, I can always move to an agency, or maybe I even do that, you know, when my kids are in school. I just think there's always going to be an opportunity here. It might change. It might kind of pivot into something new. And we're kind of seeing some changes happening in this online service-based space. And we talked about that on the podcast last week, guys. So if you haven't listened to that, make sure you go check out the episode with Lindsay White, where she's kind of sharing what she's seeing happening in the online space and different trends on the hiring side. But this is a very much a long-term solution for those of you who are looking for a better way to work and be there for your family. So Chelsea, we won't kind of go over your whole beginning story, because those of you who want to listen to it, if you're newer to the podcast and you didn't start back and go in order with episode one through now, which I'm not, no judgment there. I probably wouldn't do that either, but jump back and listen to Chelsea's story on how she got started. It's episode 190. She had an awesome start to her business. And Chelsea, before we kind of dive in, if you want to give us the quick commercial version of who you are, what you did, how you got started, and then we'll go into where you're at now.
Yeah. So I started November 1st of 2020 when I had a 5-month-old, like I said, and I started the course November 1st. December, I had my first client. By January, I was posting the group. Oh my goodness, maybe I need to leave teaching, because I was a former first grade teacher. And so many people were encouraging me to leave. And I was like, nope, I'm going to stick it out in the school year. And by March of 2021, so about 4 or 5 months into the course, I told my principal I was going to need to go on leave, because I could technically take a parental leave. By the end of that year, I had doubled my teaching salary. My teaching salary was $54,000. So you can do the math on what I ended that first year of business with. And I officially resigned that following year. I've never looked back. I support online business owners with Pinterest management. And our last episode, this would not have been the case. I'm still full in on Pinterest management services. That's my bread and butter. But I was feeling a pull to add some new things to my realm of expertise. So I actually became an online business manager since then, and loving it. I mean,
yeah. So last episode ended, you were doing Pinterest management, you're expert specializing in there. And so in the last, you're saying since that episode, kind of the last 2 years-ish, you've pivoted into online business manager, or you're still kind of doing both?
So I'm doing both. So since we last talked, so I wanted to, you know, increase my rates. So I increased my rates so that way I can make more without adding more hours. But then I wanted to level up even more. So I started learning all about Pinterest ads. And don't get me wrong, there's some people that love them and I enjoy them to an extent, and I offer them for some clients, but I thought that was going to be like my next go-to service to offer. And it's just not for me. They stress me out because there's a lot of money on the line for clients. And so I just found like maybe that wasn't my next move. Again, I offer them, but it's not like I am actively trying to have that be my like high-end service that I am constantly selling. So I was feeling though a need to offer something else. And so I actually started, I've learned so much along the way. I've been in so many people's businesses that I took on a client for online business management. I was in her business full on, experienced all the things. I learned so much in that role. We worked together for about a year and then we parted ways. She was outside of the TPT space. And my heart is just within with teacher sellers, being a former teacher myself. And so I actually took on after that year, I have 2 clients that are, I now am in that role of online business manager. I also have a roster of Pinterest management clients. And then I have a VA that supports me with those Pinterest management clients. And they don't support me with the online business management side of things. It's just too chaotic right now for me. So I also thought about going the agency route with Pinterest, and that just didn't feel right for me. So yeah, so I offer mainly still Pinterest, but I have the OBM type of things going on, and it's super exciting because it's always something new, because having 13 clients for solely Pinterest management was burnout city at some point. Yeah. It's just too much. Like you can only create so many pins without like exhausting your brain power. And so yeah, I decided to do something new. And like we were saying in the beginning of this episode, that's what's so cool is like, I go in phases of like imposter syndrome of like, oh my God, I'm never going to have any Pinterest clients, or what if Pinterest like, you know, shuts down tomorrow. And it's like your course, like if I needed, I could go back to the basics. I now know how to run a business.
Mm-hmm.
I now know how to market myself. I know how to find clients. So I know all the basics. So, I mean, I could start shut down Pinterest management, online business management, and go into copywriting tomorrow and I'd be fine because you can always figure it out.
Yeah, absolutely. So how did you land into the online business management space?
Yeah. So like I said, so I got pregnant the end of November of 2021. And I was, both of my pregnancies, I've been so sick with my girls. And I don't know, I was just feeling like I wanted something new, but I was also exhausted and felt sick and yada, yada, yada. And it was actually a client or a friend in the space. Not a client. It was a friend in the space. And I kind of pitched her for the services because like, I was like, hey, I'm looking to try something new. I have so many skills. I know so much. And I, one of my favorite services I offer as a Pinterest manager is the strategy side of things and looking at a business as a whole. It's not just like, hey, we're going to throw some pins up there. Like I really enjoy looking at like their funnels and how Pinterest works in with their email marketing and how email marketing works into their Instagram and TikTok strategy. And so I'm always looking at it as a whole. And so it was kind of a role of like online business manager, marketing lead type of a role, which I'm actually kind of doing with a new client. So, you know what? I will say like, I am not a certified online business manager, but like I have thoughts on it, like whether I need to be, but the skill set I've developed and like taken little courses along the way without being like a certified OBM, like I feel very confident putting that on my like website saying like that I'm an online business manager.
Yeah. I think there's a couple of ways you can get that skill set. Mm-hmm. And because some people will come into the freelance space and into like my program, the Live Free Academy, and they'll be like, I can't decide between VA or OBM. Like, what do you think? And I think if you either have the skill set currently from corporate where you're doing team management, systems and process management, and like you're in that role, but in your corporate setting, in most cases, I think you can go right there without having to go get the OBM certification. The caveat that I kind of see is if you're not familiar with how online businesses work and that's who you're wanting to work with, there is a lot to be said of starting out in the VA role to really come in and understand how online businesses work, sales funnels and all that. Now, if you're wanting to do OBM for like a real estate agent or a local brick and mortar, and you have that industry knowledge and that understanding, you can go right there. You don't need to go get certified. And some people lack the confidence. Like you mentioned, you have imposter syndrome, but I think you're someone who's, at least it appears that you're very like confident in who you are and what you can do. And if you have that confidence, if you have that belief in yourself, there's no reason you need the OBM course.
No. And I think I landed six Pinterest clients within like a month and a half time span because of like that confidence of just like, I can do this. Like I wasn't an expert when I landed those clients. I was only 4 or 5 months in, but it was how I presented myself on discovery calls of just like, I can do this. Like I believed in myself, and imposter syndrome will always be there. Like I've learned to cope and deal, and I've got tips and tricks in my back pocket now of how to like shut it down. But yeah, I think that confidence and just, like I said, I have like in my head, I sometimes am like, well, I'm not a certified OBM, like compared to my, you know, friends in the space that are, but it's like, what makes them, you know, like, I don't know. I feel good saying, like, I feel confident saying that.
And you're doing it for clients.
Right. Right.
Yeah. That's awesome. What are some of your tips and tricks for the imposter syndrome?
Yeah. So I think one of the biggest things is community. The best thing about your program was the Facebook group. Like to this day, the course material is what got me to be where I am, but the community was what got me through the mindset. And I've learned that business is so much mindset. Like when I started this, I was like, oh, I just need to learn how to be a freelancer. And that's one component of it. But like combating those thoughts and your beliefs of being able to do the dang thing, that's totally different. Yeah. And so the women within your group, and what's cool is a lot of women within the group are in similar stages. And there was like a lot of teachers I connected with. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of like I said, at the time, my daughter was like 5, almost 6 months. And so I was meeting moms that had about like the same age kiddos. And I'm just the person that will reach out. Like I was sending DMs like, hey, my name's Chelsea here, you know, and got to connect with people. And we actually formed Casey, who was in your group. She was about, I don't know, like 4 or 5 months before me.
Yeah.
She started a book club and there is about 13 of us in it. And I think 9 of us are from your program. And that community that we've built, like we've gone on a retreat together. We talk every single day. These girls have become my best friends and we've gone through so much. And so with the imposter syndrome, like sending out a text and just being like, oh my God, my business is burning down. And they're like, Chelsea, it's not. You lost a client or like this happened. It's okay.
Yeah.
It has been a saving grace through all of this.
You've got to have someone or someones to be able to take those thoughts to. Mm-hmm. Because when you're starting a business, any type of business, in a lot of cases, like myself, and I think a lot of the women that come to the program, they don't have friends, sisters, cousins, neighbors, like parents at their kids' school that are doing the same thing that they can connect with. It's hard to find that in-person friendship of someone like you already know that gets it, that you can go to and be like, da-da-da-da, this happened, or I'm feeling this. They're just going to smile and nod and be like, yeah, okay. There's something so valuable about having someone who's either at the same stage as you, few stages behind you, few stages ahead of you, to just listen, but also talk you through those feelings and those tough situations that do come up.
Yeah, absolutely.
So your book club, was it like a business book club or was it like, let's just be friends and read fun books?
Let's just be friends. It's all fiction. No business books allowed. And when Casey invited me, I actually almost said, no, thank you. Because I don't have the time to read. I don't really enjoy reading. I'll be honest. And that's crazy because I'm a former teacher. But yeah, I just didn't enjoy reading. But then I was like, no, like I need to do this for myself. I need to prioritize this. It's important. And I'm so glad I didn't turn her down. So we meet like once a month on Zoom to talk about the book. But we talk, like I wake up in the morning with at least 200 missed messages from our group because there's so much going on all the time. And like, we don't really talk business much. Like it's mostly about like, hey, I'm going through this or hey, and it can be like fun, easy things. Like I asked them the other day, like, hey, my nephew's birthday's this week. I don't know, to get a boy, my whole family's girls. So they're giving ideas. We're talking about minivans, but we also talk about deep things like infertility and losses and parents getting older and like deeper conversations that are heavy that like, I have a core group of like local friends and, you know, girlfriends mm-hmm. from high school and college, but like this group is so unique that like we are thick as thieves and the friendships we've made, like I make an assertive effort to maintain these friendships. And I feel like for some reason, and it's like, it's a good reminder to myself, like I need to be better about like connecting with my college friends. Like, hey, how are you doing? Like,
yeah,
I don't know, we're so good in this group about like, so you just feel heard and seen and that someone's always like checking in on you. Unlike my other friendships that, and again, my friends are amazing, but we just, I don't know. It's a very different dynamic in this space.
I think it's so much easier for me personally to talk to someone on Voxer than to go to dinner, to text, to call even, because I can voice talk and then they can voice talk back. And but just traditional texting, I'm like, I don't want to text and I don't have time to call and I don't have time to go out to dinner. I see the same thing with my in-person friends, but I'm curious, how did you guys form a friendship? Or do you have any tips for maybe some of the people that are listening that are like, I feel like I need this. I want this. But like myself, I'm shy. I'm not going to be the person messaging. Or how did you guys connect originally?
Yeah. So like I said, in the group, like I was posting, like, I think, you know, if you're not the person that wants to like send a DM or like reach out and go like the extra step, but like making an effort to be present within that Facebook group of just being like, hey, would anybody like to put some eyes on my portfolio? Like, mm-hmm. that's putting it out there for someone to give suggestions, or like, hey, this happened with a client. Like, how would you handle this? And then like Megan, oh my God, I'm going to butcher her last name. Schoenlieber. Yes. Oh my God. She's going to hate me. Like, she was always so generous that first, like, 2 months into my business, and was always just replying. And so like, she almost gave me that olive branch to make me feel comfortable to reach out and then just be like, hey, I'm so appreciative of all the feedback you're giving me. And then like, it kind of went into like the DMs naturally. So like, just taking part in that group of whatever it is, mm-hmm. just to have a conversation starter, because yeah. people want to help each other. Like, that's, yeah. you've built such an amazing community within there. And then, like I said, what's the worst that's going to happen though? Even if you are more of an introvert, what's the worst that's going to happen if you send somebody a message and they say, sorry, I'm too busy. Like, that's the worst thing. Like, nobody's going to say, hey, I hate you. Why are you sending me a message? Like, unless they're a complete meanie, but
yeah,
not going to be the case. You know, like, I think people genuinely want to support others because we've all started at square one.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So what does your business look like now? You've got 2 OBM clients. Mm-hmm. How many Pinterest clients do you have?
So I have about 6 Pinterest clients. The clients that I'm on OBM for, they are also, I also do Pinterest for them. So I've done Pinterest. So both of them have been clients for at least 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of just naturally came about. And one of my clients lives locally.
Oh, cool.
So like, we do lunch together and we get to catch up, and it's fantastic. I mean, she's like, we're like an hour and a half apart, but we make an effort to like meet halfway. So that's kind of how those relationships kind of came to be. And so it's a little scary because I've gone from, like I said, I had like about 13, 14 Pinterest clients at one point, but I was dying, like yeah. literally dying, like working insane amount of hours. And so now I have like a handful of Pinterest clients and I've got the 2 OBMs. So it's like, I'm always doing something new. I have a VA that supports me, who's wonderful. And it's really nice to be able to experience business on so many levels and have my, like, I feel like I'm making even bigger of an impact, and not that Pinterest isn't enough of an impact, but I feel like I'm like really in it and yeah. being like more of like a strategic partner and like being there to like support my clients and be like, yeah, love that idea. Or no, you're losing your mind because you do not have an extra hour in your day. You cannot take that project on. Like, I like bring them back to earth because both of them like could reach for the stars every single day. And I'm like, wait, we gotta, you know, yeah. bring it back in.
Yeah. Yeah. Are all the clients that you have now, are they all in the TPT niche?
No. So one's a photographer and teaches like moms how to DIY their own photography. Mm-hmm. That's a super fun client. And then another one is in the like more of like the parenting space, mm-hmm. and as a blogger that does like kids crafts and kids activities and how to use nature and play-based learning. So it's still education-ish.
Yeah.
Fully. But like I said, like, my passion is within the teacher niche, but I don't know. Like you said, like, your business is always pivoting. Like, will that be in a year from now or 2 years from, like, who knows? Like, yeah. it's so crazy. Like, if you had asked me like what my business would look like that first, like, 6 months of my business, yeah, I wouldn't have pictured this. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like, it's so funny. And it's so funny because I'm not a person that enjoys change
mm-hmm.
at all. And so taking the leap to do this in the first place was so hard for me. But now I kind of embrace it. Like, I've yeah. learned so much by like taking on new clients that make me feel uncomfortable, like, or that are outside of my comfort zone, or doing new projects that I'm like, I don't know. You're like I said, like, your course has just even taught me the fact of like, I'm so much more than just a first grade teacher. I'm so much mm-hmm. like, we're capable humans. It's just like, when you're brainwashed in the sense of like, I'm a first grade teacher and I'm going to retire in this and I'm doing this. And that's what you thought. That's all you could do. So
yeah. So what does your like mom business look like? Do you like that kind of integration balance? What have you, are your kids in full-time daycare? Do you work full-time? What does that kind of look like?
Oh, it has evolved. I've always had care for my girls. So like I said, when my daughter was 5 months is when I started my business. That first year she was in daycare. Then over the summer, like we reduced her to like 3 days. And so I had her 2 days. And then basically now my girls go to school 4 half days a week from like 9 to 12:45. So I get a solid like almost 4 hours. Because mm-hmm. like when the girls come home, Finley's supposed to do quiet time. Drew takes a nap, but that can be... So I get a dedicated amount of time. And then my mother-in-law helps on Wednesdays, mm-hmm. but sometimes she's traveling. So that's hit or miss. But I do know every single Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, I am getting from at least 9 to 12:45.
Yeah. That's so awesome.
So my goal of the week is like 20, 25 hours. And like I said, when I was first in my business, I was probably, Michaela, I'm not kidding, working like 40 plus hours, like nights, weekends. And it wasn't because like I had matched my salary, if not exceeded that, working probably more like 20, 25 hours, but I could not set like shut down the mindset of like, I constantly had to be doing more and more and more. And like, I could not get over that. Like I've had to work really hard.
Yeah.
And life has taught me some lessons too, along the way to bring me back to earth of what life is about to realize that I don't need to, like, this is a season of life. My girls are only so young. Like the fact that we're talking that my business is about to celebrate its third year of like having my third year business anniversary and my daughter's 3 and a half, like life, like it goes so fast. And so I'm just really, I don't want to say I'm coasting in business. I still have goals and stuff, but I'm not trying to be crazy.
Yeah. And like that more, I think is very common for like very high achiever types.
Enneagram 3 here.
Enneagram 3. Yes. Cause I mean, there's no limit. You're only limited
and
to
that, and you probably feel that too, Michaela, like when you were freelancing is like the, like as a teacher, it didn't matter if you were the teacher that worked an extra 3 hours a day, or if you were the teacher that opened the door classroom and closed the classroom right on contract hours, you were making what you were making. And your next step, like even when I got my master's degree, like I spent all this money to get my master's. Great. It never came out to be what it was. And here in Michigan, like our teaching salaries weren't the worst, but I had friends that were climbing the corporate ladder and making, you know, double, triple what I was making. And I never could do that, even though I was killing myself as a teacher. And so when I entered the freelancing world, it was like, oh, wow, the more you put in, the more you can, you know, you bring out another client,
yeah,
you can make more money, you can do this, you can offer this. And then I created a course and then I did this because I thought I had to do all these things. And like, then the money got really exciting and intriguing. And then I got burnt out and it was not exciting.
It's hard because I mean, there's so many things you can do and there's no shortage of options. I think for me, I have to always come back to, well, what's most important right now? Like you said, like I am right now, I'm in a season where I have little kids at home. It's maybe 5 more years.
Right.
And then Charlie will be in school and it'll be so quiet here all day. And I won't have just 20 hours.
Right. Yeah. Then we'll be like, what do we do with a 40-hour week when our kids are at school?
Then I'll work out and, you know, our house will be clean always. And all those things.
Yep. Hired a cleaning lady. Definitely did that. So
yes. Yes. But it is hard. And I think though, sometimes we make it harder of, oh, we want to make more than I can add a course or I can take on more clients. But sometimes there's ways to make more without working more and burning yourself out. So when you scaled back some of those clients and in the working hours, you said like now you're at more 20, 25. Did you take like a drastic pay cut doing that?
Not really, because I hired, so during my maternity leave, I hired on support, like from VAs to support me. And my plan was to do 6 weeks with those VAs. And then life kind of threw us for a loop with my daughter when she was born. She kind of went through a health scare. And so as a result, I kind of like shut down my brain and my business. No, I didn't shut down my business. I shut down my brain. So I was so grateful I had the support. And so it just kind of naturally evolved to have them like continue helping. And then, so as I was kind of taking on these OBM clients, I was having them support within Pinterest and I was still well exceeding like what I needed to make. And then kind of if I would lose like a Pinterest client, I wouldn't stress over it because I was like, I was still making enough. I will say I'm not making as much as like when I was doing, having 13 clients by myself and working 40 hours, but I am still making well over what my family needs financially to be okay. And there were months though too, like during all of this, that I was making what we would need to be financially okay, like right at that number. And it was good too. Like,
yeah,
it was my own mindset that wasn't okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I could still lose a couple more clients and still be okay. You know, like that's what's crazy. Yeah. It's a lot of the mindset of like, we don't need that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's interesting how you, the overachiever part gets the best of you.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So with your clients, another thing like people kind of starting out and early on, a concern that I hear from a lot of them is around finding clients and clients leaving and or always feeling like they have to be finding new clients. Can you maybe speak to what that has looked like and been for you? Like how long have you been with some of your clients? Are you always constantly trying to find new clients? What is that?
Yeah. So I'm looking at my ClickUp. That's where I organize all my client stuff. So all of my clients, except for one, have been with me for 2.5, like 2.5 plus. So basically when I started my business, which is crazy because I still to this day will have the thoughts of like, oh my gosh, all my clients are going to leave me tomorrow, but they've been with me from day one. So it is a mindset thing, I think, yeah, is one. And so how I found clients was Facebook groups. And then those friendships that I was making, we kind of became like referral partners for each other. Like they would take me in Facebook groups or like with some of my clients who I do Pinterest for, like one of the biggest things to have Pinterest be successful for them is to be regularly blogging. And so like one of my friends is an amazing blogger. So several times I will just refer her to my clients and just be like, so that's not helping me get clients. But that like, that just goes to show that like my referral for her was like, she kept getting blogging clients as a result of me just being like, hey, go to this person. Mm-hmm. So I've gotten clients through referrals. I mean, mostly referrals at this point. I don't really actively like hang out in Facebook groups anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think because I have such a strong like client base, I don't want to sound like snotty to be like, I don't need to, but yeah, I'm kind of just in a comfort zone right now.
Yeah. But that's kind of how it is. And one reason why I think freelancing is such a better option than a lot of the other side hustles being marketed to moms, how you're not constantly looking for new sales, new clients, new customers. You can do that initial work, land some clients and not have to be in that, I hate the word hustle, but that hustle networking phase forever. Things can always happen and change, like a client drops or you drop. But once you've kind of built that foundation and you're established, there's ways to find like the replacement clients.
Yeah. And if I could go back that first year, like I was so, I don't know what I thought when I was buying your course. Like I remember like on the last episode, if you go back and listen, like, I think I said this, like, I almost emailed you with like, I want my money back because I was like, this isn't real. Like thinking it was a scam type of thing. But like, I was so naive and clueless to the fact of like, what did I think? Was this supposed to be an overnight success? Like my first year of teaching was awful. It was so hard. Like I was literally learning on the job every day, needing to ask questions. I was learning something new constantly. I was overwhelmed. It was stressful.
And you spent 4 years and a lot of money in school be that way your first year.
How I miraculously thought that like basically pivoting my entire career was going to happen overnight is like mind-boggling to myself now. Like what was I expecting? Like,
but it kind of did. It was so quick.
It was so quick. Like, so it did. It was so quick in the grand scheme of things. But like, if you're listening right now and you are a brand new freelancer and you are like watching people within the Facebook group, like land clients and you're feeling like defeated, like the first 6 months are hard. The first 8 months, I mean, that first year is hard, but you are doing something brand new. Like, mm-hmm. it is a brand new career. You're like stepping into something outside of your comfort zone, especially like friends that I have that like, they were nurses and mm-hmm. like, I was a teacher. Like, we didn't know what an SOP was or click up or all these terms that you will slowly start to learn. And so like, looking back, I wish I could have given myself like the pat on the back to be like, landing that first client, like, good for you. Like, I don't think I celebrated the wins enough along the way mm-hmm. because I like
on kept
feeling
next,
like I wasn't doing enough. Yeah, yeah. It's So, but you're right. Like, now I'm in just this phase of like feeling more reassured that like, even if I lost a client, like, I know how to do it. I know how to find more clients. Like, I will figure it out. I would reach out to friends. I would reach out to my network. One thing that I've never done, and I could, but I mean, I don't need to, is like my local Facebook groups. Like mm-hmm. I have never really sold myself there of being like, hey, my name, you know, I offer this and this. Like, I do see people posting it there, but I never have. So like, I think like when I was in it, I was so afraid to post to those groups because I was a teacher and I was afraid of what other people would think. And like, I went through so many mindset.
Yeah. You
know, struggles. But now, like, I don't think I've ever posted on my Facebook page, which you should. I never said like that I was doing this. So I mean, I can only imagine if I did do that, like tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
what kind of feedback I would get.
Yeah.
And I always remind myself, like, if like worst came to worst, I could go back to general VA service. Like
mm-hmm.
I could start over and refigure out what lit me up and what was exciting. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. It's hard to not know what it's going to look like sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Cause people, struggle like, and if you're not going to know until you get started, cause you're going to like, if you get started as a virtual assistant, you might realize you hate some of this, but you love this, and you would never have figured out what you loved if you didn't just start. Where you start is not where you're going to be in 3 months, 6 months, mm-hmm. a year, 3 years from now. So.
Yeah. Even where I am now, like I said, in 2 years, like, I don't know. I love what I'm doing right now. I would love to like, just kind of ride this wave because I am just so like constantly like, what else can I do? But like I said, I'm really just trying to be present in what I'm doing right now and being content with it.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2 years, maybe I am. And then, like I said, in 2 years, my daughter's going to be in kindergarten. Like,
oh my gosh.
That kills me. Like, I just, you know, that kills me that she's already going to be in kindergarten. And so I'm really, really happy that I've found a much better balance now. I feel really good about it, but I had to go through it to know that, right?
Yeah.
Like, you all have to go through things to get to this point.
Yeah, absolutely. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just hear lessons from other people and listen, but that's not how, like, we always think, oh, it'll be different or I'll do it. And
that's like the high school boyfriend you're dating and your high school friends are like, why are you dating him? And then a few months later, you break up and you're like, wow, I should have listened to you guys. You're like, you're so like not realizing it. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to move into more OBM roles or do you like the balance of Pinterest and OBM?
So I know OBMs that do package pricing. I have found hourly to be best.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love the hourly approach though.
Mm-hmm.
I will say I make more money as a Pinterest manager just because it's package-based and the quicker you get with things, the more you make, obviously.
Yeah.
So like, that's hard, but I probably will find my footing with like how to structure OBM packages. But I still, like I said, I know a lot of OBMs, director of operations that do like the hourly rate just because it's so...
It changes a lot.
Yeah. So the hourly thing is tough. Not to say that I won't like raise my rates with that, but that's a little wonky trying to navigate that. Mm-hmm. But I do like the different worlds. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I will say the OBM type stuff is more demanding.
Yeah.
Just because it's constantly new things. Pinterest, like, it's a lot of work and it's like can be stressful, but like I just know it at this point, 3 years in, like, it's so natural to me. I've taken so many bajillion courses. Like, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Whereas like OBM stuff, I start to get to know what I'm doing. And then a client will be like, hey, I'm thinking about taking this on. And I'm like, oh boy, like, here we go again. So then it's like learning and feeling like you're starting from scratch. And so it's just different. Yeah. So right now, yeah. I like the balance between the two. And I will say, like, all of my marketing that I do for myself, I really don't talk about the fact that I offer that as a service, because like my website is fully Pinterest, my social media is solely Pinterest, like all of my social platforms are that. Because like I said, I'm not like in Facebook groups publicly sharing it. Both of like the three clients I've had within that, one was a friend, two are current clients. So I'm not like advertising as that. Mm-hmm. And I do find that it's important to really like kind of be known as one thing. I don't want to confuse my audience with like, wait, she's a Pinterest manager, but she offers online business. Like, what is she? Like, you know, I don't want to confuse my audience at this point. So yeah, I'm just kind of sticking with how I'm doing things.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, and after we hang up tomorrow, you might have a new idea or a new vision.
Yes, of
and
course.
You can run with it. And that's so cool.
Yeah.
So Chelsea, if someone's looking to, you guys said you started a membership now, like a book club, other people can join your membership. So tell us about that. And also tell us where people can go to connect with you, follow you.
Yeah. So Casey Ackerman, like I said, she's a ClickUp expert. She started with, or I started, you know, like I said, 5 months after her, she's was the kind of the brains behind putting this book club together. And once we met in real life, after a year of doing book club virtually, we were all like, this is so cool, guys. Like, why don't we create this for everyone else? Like, we've mm-hmm. all been through masterminds that we have spent a lot of money on. And a lot of the reasons behind why we all did the masterminds, we said, was like the community aspect mm-hmm. and like that aspect of like pushing each other to do more, finding people in the online space that understood it. And so we were like, well, what if we extended this book club? Like, so many people have asked us, like, can we be a part of the book club? And like, you can only, I mean, have so many within a text thread without all of us losing our minds.
Yeah.
So we were like, well, why don't we make this a membership? And so we created the membership as a way for other people to have that community. We've been really like, it's been really cool to see different type of people joining. It's just like all walks of life have been coming into this group. Some are service providers, some are course creators, some are just online business owners, some are brick and mortar business owners, which is really cool. Like one person like owns Airbnb. So it's very interesting.
Yeah, that's cool.
And so lots of already really cool conversations happening. We kind of started it at like a super affordable price, basically for us to just pay for like ThriveCard and, you know, like our launch things that we have to pay for. So it's just super affordable. It's a casual place to just kind of come. And like I said, we love like your thread in the community of like, that's where it kind of all started for all many of us, was just that having that space to feel safe and come to each other for things. And like I said, a lot of it is not business though. Like it's nice to not always talk about business, but then be able to have those people to be like, okay. And then this happened. Like, now please help.
Yeah. Please help someone.
So yeah. So
tell
me
it'll be okay. And give me some like tangible next steps. Cause I'm breaking here.
Yeah. Yeah. Please help. So yeah. So that's the membership. The book club membership on Instagram is where you can find us for that. But for me personally, you can find me on Instagram. That's really just where I hang out. I have my website, chelseahallsocial.com. If you ever want to check out that, I don't know why, but maybe you want to check that out. I don't really touch it, but yeah, I hang out on Instagram the most. So
awesome. Well, Chelsea, thank you so much for coming on and just sharing with us and giving us a peek into what's been going on in your world and business in the last couple of years. And we're so excited to cheer you on and just see you keep enjoying your business that you've built and seeing what else is in store for you.
Well, thank you. And thank you so much for your course to begin with. I mean, honestly, I would not be here without that. And so thank you.
Now, just because the episode is over doesn't mean the knowledge party has to stop. Come hang out with me and thousands of other mamas in my free Facebook group. Just search Facebook for the Live Free Podcast Mastermind with Michaela Quinn, or go to the show notes. We have it linked there. And make sure you answer the questions so our gatekeeper knows that you want in. And don't forget, sharing is caring. If you are loving this podcast, please take a moment to share it with your friends. But make sure you tag me at Michaela.Quinn on Instagram and at Michaela Quinn on Facebook. See you next week.